Welcome to the Curious Women Podcast. I'm your host, Kylie Fignano, and I'm here with my co-host, Meg Hager. Here, we're going to have chats about women's health to teach you the things that you didn't know you didn't know. Hi, guys. So we have an interesting and kind of obscure topic, I think, today.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Amanda about matrescence, which neither Meg nor I knew what it was or honestly how to pronounce it properly. So yeah. I'm really glad that she said it before we had to ask her about it.
me too.
So as you will learn with far more eloquence, matrescence is the process of a new mother really starting to understand who she is in her motherhood. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, if this is not the time in your life where that's something that you feel up to or comfortable listening to or learning about, then this might be an episode for you to just return to in a place where perhaps that might be less sensitive. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you are someone who, like Meg and I, are not planning on entering the phase of motherhood either at all or anytime soon, mm-hmm. I will tell you it might be worth listening anyway. Meg and I both found it really, really supportive for us in terms of being friends and mm-hmm. deep supporters of other people in our lives who are actively going through this. So for totally. Us, it really helped us understand to the extent that we possibly can, right?
I think
that was something we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
How to show up in a way, or maybe to her point, show up, period. How to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is you, I would encourage you to listen in the attempt to learn and educate yourself around how to be a supportive friend for your soon-to-be mothers. So
mm-hmm. definitely.
We learned a lot. I think mm-hmm. the end of the episode in particular, when she mentions the different herbs, if that's something you're interested in, feel free to stick around for that. Mm-hmm. And please leave us your questions. So I think that if you'll hear anything in this, the idea of it is that the ability to ask questions and the ability to keep truly honest conversation always open mm-hmm. seems to kind of be the connecting key to everybody feeling like they're going to get through this.
Yeah.
So please, you know, new mother, not new mother, all around, let's start the conversation and see how we can help support each other. I think that's really what the take home was, right?
I agree. Absolutely. Here's Amanda. I am not a type A. I act like I am, but I am not.
Meg is type mushroom.
I see
type sparkly heel boot mushroom.
I speak that language. I don't speak sparkle as much. I'm more of like swamp witch, but I'm down.
These are my friends, the sparkly mushroom and the swamp witch. Incredible. Absolutely fucking delightful.
Okay. I don't know why, but I feel like introducing yourself as a swamp witch is like the perfect intro to like who you are and what you do. So
we'll just wing it.
We were talking about your bio earlier, and honestly, I think that's it. That's all you need. Swamp witch who loves herbs and babies. Or like herbs
mother
and supporting
swamp
mamas.
Witch, welcome.
Yeah, mother swamp. Honestly, that's all the marketing you need. That's it. We're done. We're done
I'm
here.
Changing my whole plan. That's it.
You're welcome.
We're going feral. I keep telling
you. Mother's swamp witch.
Last year was like, you know, hot girl or whatever. This year is feral woman. We're done.
I can't.
We're feral.
Oh,
we're all feral swamp witches running around. Yelling at the moon and dancing. Oh my gosh. I love that. So why don't you tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and why they should listen to you, Mother Swamp Witch, about the topics.
Yes,
the topic of matrescence.
Well, I'm Amanda. I wear many hats, but I'm an herbalist that works with mamas. So I work with mamas who are pregnant. I work with mamas who have just had babies. I work with mamas who have have 10-year-olds. It is my passion to protect motherhood and to use mothering and motherhood as activism. And so I do that through my business. It's called Tree Mama Herbals, and it's all me. It's all courses and podcast and, you know, one-on-one work and group coaching. I wear many, many hats, but my focus is always protecting motherhood and, you know, doing, protecting breastfeeding and just helping moms kind of get into feeling into their new identity as mama. And I also, I'm an herbalist. So I do this with herbs because a lot of mamas are sleep deprived or they're having a lot of anxiety. They're having a lot of mood disorders and herbs can really, really support that.
Oh my gosh.
I think that, and when we were speaking a couple of weeks ago, I remember thinking this is such, and this is coming up for me a lot because so many of my girlfriends are in this phase of life for the first time. Yeah. Right, for the first time. And when I'm listening to their experience and trying to understand it without having had that experience, right? Which is important, I think. Yeah. But when I'm listening to them, it really is this, you have 9 months where you feel like you're preparing, right? Mm-hmm. You've got 9 months where you're sort of anticipating this thing, and then it happens, and there is no transition, really. There's no, like, gentle little ceremony where you just kind of, like, da-da-da. There's no party, like, you're sweet 16.
Right.
And then the transition.
I feel like there should be, though. Can we just change
totally, that? Totally! Like, this is my point.
Anyway, sorry, Kylie.
This to be a normal thing. You are so right. So you're dead on with what you're saying. So the first couple things that I'll just say about that is when you're sitting there imagining the mom you're going to be, the baby you're going to have, how you and your partner are going to be once baby gets here, you have these expectations. And when baby comes and your body feels broken from however you birthed, that bubble is popped. And so you're starting motherhood with these unmet expectations. And that is a very difficult thing because you've been sitting there going, I'm going to be this mom that reads to my kid that, you know, or I'm going to be this super mom that just does everything I did before, but with a little sidekick. And if you're like me and your first little sidekick comes out and has colic and all that goes down the drain because you can't go anywhere because they don't stop screaming. It's a real unmet expectation, but you're so right. There is no celebration of this becoming a mama. Our society expects you to know what to do, to have it all together, and to fit back in your personality and your genes and everything. You're supposed to bounce back. You can't bounce
fit back in your personality.
Yeah,
it's a big one, right?
That's not one that we're talking about.
It's not what we're talking about. And so back in the dark ages, before the dark ages, so caveman ages, having a baby is like a rite of passage. So you are, and in other cultures, they still kind of do that where you're like, you're helped. You're seen as this like woman that needs help and support and you're learning your baby and you're learning your body. And, you know, we need to nourish you. We need to add, not detract. But in our society, and I'm speaking here from the States, but I know that there's a lot of other countries that feel this way as well. We're expected to bounce back. We're expected to go back to who we were. But I can tell you that even personality wise, you can't go back. So we use this term called matrescence, which is a lot like adolescence. It sounds the same. It's like the motherhood of adolescence, right? Oh. And so this term was coined by Dana Raphael, which was a social anthropologist. She actually termed the coin doula too, which is kind of cool. There's been this resurgence of matrescence since probably 2017 because Dr. Alexander Sachs did this awesome TED talk on it. So there's been this resurgence since then. But what matrescence is, in its most basic, broken down, and I hate using this term, but it helps people understand, it's going from maiden to mother. That is like the definition. But when you go maiden to mother, how does that work? And how does that work for women who are having miscarriages? How does that work for women who are having adoptions? How does that work for women who aren't going through the typical space? How does that work for people who don't identify as a woman? It's really not an all-encompassing space. Mm-hmm. And our society does not accept matrescence the way we accept adolescence. So if you think about adolescence, you would never want to go back to middle school, right? That sounds awful. That's you think nice. About all of that. And
no, thank you.
Changing, right? Your hormones are changing. Your body is changing. Things you like, things you don't like are changing. The way you identify yourself is changing. It's all changing, and it's changing quickly, and you're not in control. That is the same thing that's happening when you're having a baby. After you've had a baby, your hormones plummet, and then different hormones take over. Okay. So instead of, for instance, instead of progesterone, now you have prolactin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel the same in the body. but one can't function while the other is functioning, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So you're having this big change, and people don't hold space for that change. That change is expected to just happen in the dark behind closed doors, and you're expected by friends, family, colleagues, everybody to be exactly who you were before. And that in itself right there is painful. Yeah. Not being able to be embraced during that change right there is painful. Mm-hmm. Let alone your partner going, "What do you want for dinner?" And you going, "I don't even know what I like anymore. I don't know what food I like anymore. I don't know what my favorite color is anymore." You're feeling like a totally different person, and you're evolving, you're growing, you're blooming. This is beautiful. We're looking at it from right now. I'm just giving you the big, you know, over the top picture for maybe like, say your friend just had a baby and you're like, "Wow, this girl is tripping. This is not my friend. Maybe she needs to get out without the baby." That's what a lot of people think. Maybe she needs to get out without the baby so she can find herself. But that's not what's needed. We're needed to be loved and accepted in this new motherhood role that we've completely lost our autonomy overnight. And that's like, whoa, that's kind of a big deal, right? This is kind of what I'm trying to bring to light is this matrescence. And it's not overnight. It's like this long, winding thing. You know, you're going to keep changing. And with each new evolution of motherhood, you're going to have like another matrescence. So when you wean your baby, you're going to have another matrescence. When your baby goes off to school, you're going to have another matrescence. When your baby becomes a middle schooler and is going through adolescence, you're going to be like, "Oh my God, how do I identify as a
baby?" Oh, shit.
Right? But it's just, there's a little more pressure on it because there's a new person there and it happened overnight. Whereas adolescence happens over time. This new change was put on you like that.
Yeah, it's just that's
breaking it down.
That's a really interesting point that you make about it happening overnight, because it's like you either have a baby or you do not. Like there is no, I mean, and I don't mean that to sound exclusive for other situations that I might not be aware of. I just mean like technically speaking, you go from pregnancy to not being pregnant anymore, you have a baby or you don't. It's not. Yeah. It's like and it is that. Quickness and drastic no in between is a very interesting point.
Absolutely. And the word postpartum literally means no longer pregnant. So no longer with baby. Mm-hmm. And we expect that to be like a 6-week thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about anyone else, but I've never been all of a sudden with baby again after 6 weeks. No, that's forever. Baby is no longer inside of me forever. Mm-hmm. I might get pregnant again, but I am still postpartum. And I think that is really important because at least our society says 6 weeks. Six weeks, postpartum's over. You should be back to exercise. You should be back to work. You should be back to yourself. Go out without baby. Baby should be sleeping in their own room. And that's just not it. That's not the business.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I feel very strongly about all of it.
So let's start. I have a question about that then, the 6 week thing. I get what you're saying. I've heard that too. And I know you've made the point that postpartum is forever. Matrescence is a big, long, winding journey. But like, just so people listening who maybe are going through this or haven't gone through it yet and want to know a little bit more about what's kind of more of a realistic expectation, do you have a time frame that someone should expect to just experiment, like just let themselves give themselves more self-compassion to adjust? And I know that's kind of a hard question, but do you have like a ballpark?
Of course it's different for everybody. Let's talk specifically your body. Your organs have been moved out of their location so that to make room for your womb and your baby. Okay. They've literally been pushed and squished off to the corners. If you could see my hands, you can see I'm like,
gosh, this is such a mind fuck.
Back to their original spot until 18 months postpartum.
What?
Yes. It takes 18 months. And that is if you had a non-traumatic birth, you had no issues with pregnancy.
Meg's out. Meg's out. She's out.
Goodbye. And passed over. I cannot believe that.
Now, will some mamas feel back to normal at 8 weeks? Absolutely. And if you have huge nutrition stores and you have a really good base of a strong body to start all of this with, you're going to recover much quickly, much quicker, much more quickly. It doesn't need to be like this sentence where it's like, you will feel like hell for 18 months. It's not like that. What it is just this understanding that it's going to be ever evolving and ever changing. But if you're looking just specifically at your body, I think it's totally straight up crazy that the American standard model, like medical model, says 6 weeks is the last time I need to see you. You're good to go. Stitches look great. Bye. And you're like, cool, cool. Well, I'm peeing my pants when I sneeze. So, it's okay. It's normal. By the way, it's not normal. If you're doing public floor PT, it's not normal.
Yeah, we've talked about that, how it's common but not normal. We've had that discussion.
So motherhood. It's common, but it's not normal. Postpartum anxiety, it's common, but it's not normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is interesting. I didn't realize that matrescence was a term that was used for multiple stages of motherhood. So it's not really just when the baby comes. It's as you were saying, there's that, and then there's when maybe if you're breastfeeding and you change that, and then going to school. So it can be used to refer to all of these new stages.
Well, let's talk about matrescence kind of as it's like this theory that is just coming to surface. So a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on it. I work very closely with a colleague, Jessie. Jessie says that it's like just that first year and then you're good. I work with another woman who says matrescence is forever. And it depends on really what you're looking for. But I think that one thing that is starting to happen is matrescence is starting to get confused with postpartum. And they are not the same. To me, postpartum is a specific like phase, and it is a body phase, okay? And once your body is feeling better, and I say once postpartum, always postpartum, so I guess I'm kind of tripping over myself. So I guess my answer is, I don't know. it's kind of up to how you're identifying it. When I talk about matrescence, I'm talking about your identity. And so I'm not talking about your physical, I'm not talking about your mental kind of gets into it, but I'm not talking about, stress levels impacting it or anything like that. Matrescence could be a reason you're having stress, but it's not really the same to me. So when I work with my one-on-one clients, matrescence is its own session. We go deep in matrescence one session, and I ask very specific questions about what happened right after you had baby. Who was there for you? Who showed up for you the first day? Who has allowed you to express this changing identity? Where have you changed? Where have you stayed the same? And I use this, mirror work. I use this mirror work exercise where I have them sit in front of the mirror, look at themselves and go, who are you? I'm a mother. No. Who are you? I am a teacher. No. Who are you? And you're sitting there going, no, 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 no. Who are you? And so I use myself as an example. I look in the mirror and I go, I am creative. Am I creative right now? No. Heck no. How can you be creative with a toddler? I guess I could color sometimes, but it's not the same, And so I think that it's really important to sit there and keep figuring out who you are on the inside, because it's so easy to get sucked into either I am mom or sucked into the other side where I am not only mom. Mm. And that's really challenging on both sides because, I feel like a lot of working moms are asked to be not mom. And a lot of stay-at-home moms are asked to be only mom. Mm. And how can you not do all of that? You're still your own person, but you have this huge identity that has been added. It's almost like a download that happened to your body, but your software can't quite keep up with it yet. It takes a little bit. You got to add some apps, stuff like that. I'm not a tech person, but I'm trying. Right. Okay.
So for this mirror work exercise, it sounds to me like you're recommending that people stay clear from assigning themselves roles and maybe like using adjectives. Is that more kind of like a specific way?
Totally.
So that you're developing your identity as a new mother, and that helps you find the balance between identifying only as mom as identifying as not only mom. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. And it's also, you know, a really great way, a huge challenge. Next time somebody asks you, like, tell me about yourself, try to do it without telling them what you do.
Ooh. Wow.
That is hard.
That is hard. You know what's interesting though? Here in Hawaii, it's actually, and it's just the culture, and this is a little bit of a detour, but it's actually really, that's the first cue that people, local people know you're not from here, is if the first thing you ask them is, what do you do?
I used to work with a surgeon who spent, he had a house in Hawaii, and he was like, that's my favorite thing about Hawaii. People will be like, they'll be like, tell me about yourself. And they're like, I like to play tennis. I like to go surf, like to go beach, like to paddleboard,
and everything else. So that 6 months later, you finally find out what they do.
And wouldn't that be cool? But, you know, I mean, us as small business owners, it's kind of like, okay, well, this is a huge part of my identity right now.
Yeah.
What we do is kind of like our passion. And so, you know, especially if you're like a solopreneur, it's like, well, this is all of me.
Right.
And would it be safe to also say that a lot of moms, do you get pushback there where people are like, no, actually, that is what I feel right now. Like, I feel like I am a mom and I feel comfortable saying that. Mm-hmm. And when you ask me, that is actually how I feel, because I'm picturing just some of my friends who are moms. I know that if they were a part of this conversation, they'd be like, what are you talking about? How could I possibly be anything else? This is all I do. It's all I want to do. I don't want to be anything else.
So I would challenge them to say, okay, what are you in your motherhood then? If right now in this season, you are identified by your motherhood, which I am on board with, I am not the type of person that's going to tell you that you need to have a separate life from being a mom. That's not how I feel. And if you are a type, I support moms in all ways. So if you are the type of mom that needs a separate life, yes, that's fine. But I feel that you do need to be seen as, you know, as this whole being, okay?
Yeah.
And so if you're identifying as mama right now, this is what you do. This is what you want to do. This is what you love to do. Okay. Are you kind? Are you patient?
Are you creative? That's nice.
And then you can take it further. Do you like to teach your kids? Do you like to read to them? Do you like to roughhouse? Are you energetic? You know, you can take this even further. And sometimes I really think that motherhood and matrescence in general really kind of blows the top off of who you thought you were and makes you really see who you are. And that's something that, like, I could go a lot deeper into this, but something that people don't realize is when you have a child, you are going to see your shadow side of yourself in your child every single day. Mm. And so the best way to explain that is, like, I was a very talkative kid, and my 7-year-old literally has no off switch. And he's cool for talking. And so when he's driving me nuts and he's just talk, I'm like, man, I'm facing that shadow side of myself, that talkative side of myself right here, right in front of me. My 2-year-old screams. And when I'm frustrated, my lid pops off and I'm a screamer. I don't mean to be, and I try not to be, but I see it in my kid. And so you're forced to treat these shadow sides of yourself with this, like, kindness and sweetness and generosity, or sometimes stepping away and taking a quick break and being like, well, I'm going to call up a therapist and get some work done on this. But motherhood really, like, it takes, when you don't have a child dependent on you, even if you're married, even if you have a partner that you are very, like, dependent on, here's something to kind of help you, like, really wrap your mind around it. You and your partner are sitting watching TV together. One of you has to go to the bathroom. You just get up and go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have a kid,
no, I'm
kidding. Right? If you have a kid, you're going, okay, I need you to watch the kid. I'm going to get up and go use the restroom. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go take a shower really quick. Could you imagine being like, okay, I have to take a shower. I can't go just take one. I have to put somebody in charge of the ship, because I'm not autonomous anymore. Mm-hmm. I have a being that I have to be responsible for. And I think that is something that no matter how many times you tell somebody, they don't expect what that feels like until you have that. And then you're like, holy, I mean, I was like a really crazy dog mom before I had kids. So I really thought I knew it, but like, you can't put your kid in a cage and leave. It just doesn't work.
Right. I have to say, honestly, And transparently, everything that you're saying highlights all of the reservations that I have around entering that phase of life.
I
know Meg has thoughts and feelings and opinions as well.
Decision on one side.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think that that also needs to be affirmed, that women do. I talk about matrescence as this great blooming, this great opening. But I think that it is also important to affirm that you are still a whole woman, even if you have not had a child. This is just something that kind of blows you up in a different way. And it doesn't mean that you are any less if you haven't gone through it. But I don't think that it can be fully understood until you're in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, why don't I tell you some of the good stuff about matrescence instead? Why don't we do some of that instead of all the scary stuff, okay?
Yes, but before we go there, Kylie, did you have a question you were going to before I interrupted? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't. I think I was just, I imagine many other people are probably going to feel very connected or seen or understood in hearing you say, if you choose not to have a baby, you are still a whole woman.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel like particularly moved by that for some reason. I like caught me off guard a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's maybe instead of dancing around to Beyonce tonight, I'll be thinking of this. My solo evening might have changed. I wanted to just take a second and highlight that because, I mean, listen, on we talk a lot about children and babies and breastfeeding and prenatal and postpartum, and we talk a lot about it on this podcast because it's a curious women's podcast.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of women who are, especially now, this is not part of where they see their lives going. And
right.
I think more, maybe now more than ever, it's really lovely to kind of hear the other piece of it. You know, that you're still fabulous and you'll bloom in your own ways. Yes. Right. And for those of you who might be listening and feeling any of that, I hope that landed for you a gentler way than it landed for me. A little less abrasive.
Move your body. Move that emotion through.
Treat yourself
as you would treat, you know, younger you. It's like you would let younger you feel that all the way through. I'm really big in that. But let's talk about that. We talk about, when we're talking about rites of passage and we're talking about like archetypes and things like that, you usually hear maiden, mother, crone, right? Just because you don't have kids doesn't mean you go maiden, crone. That doesn't mean that. You take on a mother role in your life. What mother is, and I'm not saying that having a baby makes you this. This is the archetype, okay? Mm-hmm. So the archetype of mother is this healed woman. That's the archetype. It's this healed, patient, calm, understanding woman. Now, let's also remember the archetype witch, okay? Because a lot of times, this patient mother, this Mary mother, right? If you've ever done any religion ever, there is some sort of Mary mother there, okay? Calm, patient, never gets angry, never raises her voice. Okay, let's look at the witch. And this is what a lot of women are coming into in matrescence. They're seeing this witch come out in them when they thought they were going to be the mother. They are feral, quote unquote. I'm doing big air quotes. They're feral. They're yelling. They're feeling their feelings. They're dancing. They're, you know, their highs and lows of emotion. And they're finding healing in that way. Now, that is something that is not necessarily accepted in our society. You've got this, you know, virgin mother that is accepted, but I don't know a single mother who doesn't feel rage, who doesn't feel deep sadness, who doesn't feel worried, who doesn't feel like, who doesn't just snap, who doesn't need a break, who doesn't, I mean, those are all feelings that are so valid. And I think right now the talk of mother rage is coming back, which is a really big talk that we need to have. Because ever since the 50s, if you had mother rage, there was something wrong with you. You could take a pill, you could get electroshock therapy, you could get all these things.
Isn't that actually where the root from hysteria came from, right? It was
You want to go there? Because I can. Because that's
I don't want to go too. Like, I don't want to take too much of a detour. But from what I know, like hysteria, the root hyster means like uterus, so it's to women, and then hysteria basically meant like a crazy woman, and was an actual diagnosis at one point given to women who were acting out of like. Oh
back in Greek medicine, they thought
I feel personally attacked by that.
Homemade unwell women. It's so good. So they thought back in Greek medicine, they thought the womb could travel throughout the body and it caused issues in the rest of the body. They didn't realize it was an organ because they weren't allowed to. They weren't allowed to look at cadavers. They weren't allowed to take apart bodies and see what was inside. And so they just assumed that it was kind of like the spirit that just kind of moved through the body and caused ailments throughout the body. So they would do things like blowing smoke up the vagina. They would do things like making women eat really, really disgusting things to push the womb back down. And so hysteria was the traveling womb causing these issues.
The traveling womb. It sounds like a band name.
I feel like that's what we should have named our podcast. The traveling
womb. The traveling womb. The hysterics. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
And this is why I love my job. Okay. Because all of this is like coming into mama. All of this is a part of the societal pressures on moms, on women, on people who identify as women. It's these societal pressures, even from the medical community, like that 6 weeks from the medical community, like hysteria, like all of those things. Those are the societal pressures that we're still dealing with. We're still trying to break through. Modern medicine still doesn't test things on mothers. They still don't test things on lactating women. Right. They still don't test things on pregnant women because it's unethical because there's another baby involved. Right. But all things are tested on men. And so we're living in this like man world with men medications and men things. And so of course, matrescence wouldn't be understood. Of course, it wouldn't get the recognition that it's needed. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is some random fringe thing. And of course, it's going to look like a scary, bad thing. Of course it is. Because that's how we're trained. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I hope to make a small dent in my life, in my work. That is my, like, I hope that I've made some sort of dent, even if just more people know what matrescence is. Yeah. Then, okay, well, I've done a little bit of work there.
Yeah.
What can women who are either in this stage or approaching this stage or planning to hope to be in this stage, what can they think about or actively start doing to help? Whether it's physically, emotionally, maybe a combination, is it exercises like that mirror game? Is it herbs? Tell me all the things.
Yeah, let's do all the things. So there's all the things, right? Mm-hmm. There's something as basic as a therapist that you really, really like, or a therapist that specializes in PMADs, which are perinatal mood and anxiety disorders.
I didn't know that was a specialty. So
There's also talking with women who are mamas and asking them to please be vulnerable and honest. Because if you can walk into this stage knowing that, or having friends or family or just community around you that gets it, You know, one of the things that I tell my moms that plan for postpartum, because I have like planning for postpartum sessions, is you need to have a friend who gets it, who doesn't live in your house, who you can contact. You can text them at 3 a.m. They may not text you back until 8. That's fine. But you feel like you could text them at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they've been there. They've done that. And you can be like, I hate my baby. And they'll be like, I get it. Mm-hmm. We all do. But they also can be the one that's like, hey, sister, you're not acting like yourself. Yeah. I can tell something's wrong. Let's talk. Let's get you help. Let's do all of the things. Okay. So I think that the more we talk about it, the more people can be prepared. The more you're around new moms, the more you see it. and then the less scary it is. And then knowing that it can be so beautiful, so beautiful. So I will tell you, I wore the mask of the good girl, medically, socially, everything, until I had my first kid. I was a nurse at the time too. I had my first kid. He had colic. The doctor was not helpful, even though I was being a good girl. I was following their rules, even during labor. I wound up having a slightly traumatic labor, which I didn't realize until this year when a doctor told me, oh, that was a traumatic birth. I was like, oh, was it? Oh, good. So I think looking at all of that, and I look back and I was this good girl. And I was doing what I was supposed to. I was doing what I was supposed to for my parents. I was doing what I was supposed to for my job. I was doing what I was supposed to in the medical system. And having a baby made me go, fuck this. No.
Yeah.
No. I have a backbone. I have a purpose. And this ain't it. And having that little person that I had to sit there and put my fists up for and be like, this is not, no, that made me a little bit came off, right? A little bit came off, and a little bit comes off every year. I had my second child at, he's 2 years old now. I just had him. <He's two. laughs> I went on to take off more of that mask when he came. You know, my first was to help me. I feel like every child has like a purpose for the mom. Sure. And so like my first was to like just break down my beliefs and like I had to rebuild them stone by stone. And let me tell you, that was tough, but it was exciting. What do I believe? Ooh, what a great question. He even asked me last night, he's seven. Mom, what do you believe about how people were made? Oh, let's talk about this. You know, I love it. He will be forever making my mind young and flexible. Aww. And then my second kid came into this world and made me re-identify my priorities and sit there and go, is work the priority for me? Are kids the priority for me? Is healing a priority for me? Is my marriage a priority for me? And it really shook things up. And every kid will perpetually, continually shake things up. Right. Yeah. And so I think that that is something that when you hear other people say it, you're like, oh, I can breathe. I don't have to put on this perfect mask. Wow. This is great. I didn't know I was allowed to be feeling what I was feeling. I remember the first time somebody told me that they were angry as a mom. I was like, what? You want to be mad when my baby wakes up for the seventh time and it's only 2 a.m.? Like, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Rage is a feeling. It comes and it goes. That's exactly what I tell my two-year-old. Feelings come and go, but you have to let them feel. You have to feel them. Now, of course, if your rage is leading to a point where you're trying to hurt self or others, you need expert help. And I will not say, do not seek an herbalist at that point. Seek expert help. Because there are such things as postpartum psychosis and things like that. And I think those are very serious. So, but we're kind of getting like, I really wanted to share something with you. I have a couple things I really want to share with you to bring the beautiful side of matrescence, okay? Because right now I feel like we're like, rah, clouds, thunder, lightning. Everybody who has babies is going to feel awful. And you're like,
balance it out.
Have kids now, you know? But I think that talking about like the beautiful side of it. So the very first time I had ever heard of matrescence was actually after my second kid was born. So I hadn't even heard of it until my second kid was born. I was reading a book called Mama Rising by Amy Taylor Kabatz. Fantastic book. If you've had kids, I definitely recommend it. She states in her book, becoming a mother is not an overnight sensation. It's a process. In fact, even describing it as a process implies that there's an end point. But with matrescence, there isn't. This journey, this path of becoming that you are on has no destination other than the next stage. And that's what's so damn confronting about it. But I find that beautiful. Yeah. You mean to tell me I don't have a deadline on deciding who I am? Ooh. I get to choose whenever I
like
want.
That.
Ooh,
yeah.
I love that.
I like
that. And then
that.
I want to share my view. This is my explanation when I'm allowed to get esoteric and swamp witchy, right? This is where I go to explain matrescence in this gorgeous, beautiful, healing way. So birth, giving birth, in my belief, you have to break open, reach through your body up into the stars to bring your baby down. It's this huge vata energy. So in Ayurveda, that's like a wind, air, creative energy. So this huge vata energy. Vata actually pushes down. So you have this huge vata energy to bring this baby down through your body to birth however you birth, okay? And it's being a shell, a broken shell of what that human was to be able to bring that baby through your body. You're broken, you're raw, you're vulnerable. And with that visual, I like to think of matrescence as the ancient art of, it's a Japanese art, and I'm probably going to butcher the name, but of kintsugi. And that is when a piece of bowl or pottery breaks, and the breaks are repaired with gold. And so now that pot is more valuable and more beautiful than it ever was before.
Oh.
That's matrescence for me. That's putting the gold in where our cracks are, okay? And we become more beautiful and valuable, right? We become the more. We become more ourselves than ever before. We become more like more. We take up more space. We take up more energy. We are able to stretch and shape this new identity. And that's matrescence for me. It's this allowing. It's becoming someone new, but embracing it and allowing it and letting it flow through you and letting the broken parts be broken. Oh. So that's what it is for me.
I think the visual, especially for people who kind of learn and associate new things in that way, that's nice. That's really nice. Yeah. I mean, they're both. I think that what you read from that book also is really, really beautiful. And I imagine people can apply that to many, many different phases or versions of things that might be new or what have you in their life. I think, in general, just a nice recommendation or a nice reminder that most things is just the unfolding of the next phase. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot of great resources now. When I had my first kid, there was no resources. There's a lot of great resources now on matrescence. And I really feel that it is starting to get some of the spotlight that it deserves. And moms who have their babies are sitting there going, oh, this is what I'm feeling. This is what it is. And the more we talk about it, the less confronting it'll be for the next mama. The more we talk about it, the less abrupt it's going to feel. The more we talk about it, the more mamas are going to feel like they have a space where they can be themselves and be like, I am broken a little bit. And you're like, yeah, I don't know what I like. Yeah. Because one of the hardest things for me was trying to spend time with friends that I had before I had my baby. Because I wasn't who I was supposed to be. I wasn't that person anymore. I was somebody different. And sometimes I felt pretty uncomfortable in the stretch. And I think that, you know, matrescence is allowing that, okay, I'm uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe surrounding yourself with people who can expect that. Like, I obviously, this is my perspective, but as someone who's choosing not to have children, I've tried to be very conscious about how I show up for my friends who do. And I feel sometimes I'm purely making assumptions. Nobody said this to me, but I feel like sometimes if I say to my friend, like my friends, like, do you hate your child? Like, I would never say that, but I just like want them to feel okay knowing that I would never judge them if they said that to me as somebody, but maybe they don't feel comfortable because I don't know what it's like. And that's fine.
But when I had my kid, I would never say that to my friends who didn't have kids.
But most
of my friends who didn't have kids really, really wanted kids. And I was also the first of my friends who had kids. So if they would have said, do you hate your kids? I would have been like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When my friend who has three kids and I just watched her kid, you know, jump off of the top bunk onto the ground, onto like a pile of Legos and just like roll, she's like, don't you sometimes hate your kids? And I'm like, you know, sometimes.
I love them always, but
you know, talking about like the friends who don't have kids, how do you show up for this mama who's in this feeling? Well, you just show up. That's the way you do it. You keep inviting them even if they can't come. You just show up, okay? Food is always the answer, okay? First of all, food is always the answer. Bring food. That's always the answer. They can always put it in the freezer if they've already eaten. Bring food.
Okay.
Showing up. Okay. So when they're immediately postpartum, if they don't want to have visitors, dropping stuff up off on their front porch, just being there and showing that even no matter how you change, I'm still here for you and I'm excited for that. Like, this is cool. Look at you learning this new skill. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah. You know? And just showing up. And my friends who stayed from when I was pre-baby to me now, they just kept showing up. And sometimes I didn't want them to, and sometimes it wasn't so nice, but they just kept showing up. And they love my babies like their own. And you can't ask for anything better than being able to write down somebody on your kid's pickup form that you know will be able to pick them up. They're not going to be stuck at soccer practice with six kids and not have room for a car seat in their car. They're going to be able to pick them up. That's huge. I'm like, heck yeah, you need those friends.
Yeah,
I think it's important to not refer to these beautiful women as childless women. These are friends. These are beautiful women. And they are part of your village. They are part of your support team. And that is, that's essential to being a mom. And what we're trying to create here is this village, this like through webs and cracks and like our own ways, we're creating this village of where we can be ourselves. We can talk, we can grow. And, you know, you were talking in the very beginning, you said we should have some sort of party.
We should. Yeah. Okay.
Here's the big idea. The one-year-old birthday party is not for the baby.
Oh my God, I said that the other day. It's
for the mom.
Yeah.
Totally.
To say, you've kept your child alive for a whole year.
Yeah.
A whole different person now. Yeah. I always bring the mom a present to a one-year birthday party. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bring the baby a present too, but I always bring the mom a present. And the card always says, you've kept a baby alive for a year. Congratulations.
Yep.
It's 1,000% for the mom. That baby doesn't even know. We don't have kids in mind. We know that. We, having had attended one-year-old birthday parties without children, I know. Like, everybody knows what's going on here. And not that you shouldn't celebrate the baby, of course. Whatever. But it's 1,000%. Yeah.
It's okay. Kind of like Simba standing on the, like, or the Rafiki standing on the rock holding out the, you know, Simba. That is what the one-year-old birthday party is. It's this, I made this, and it's still alive. And you're like, yes. And that's that rite of passage. That should be the end of the rite of passage. That should be the man coming out of the boy who went into the wilderness on his own, and he's come back a man, and here he is. Let's celebrate.
That's nice. I like that. I like that. Throw yourselves a party, mamas. Do that. Before we wrap things up, I wanna, if you're willing to share, I'd love to know a little bit about certain types of herbs that women in this period of life could either ask a practitioner to help them with, or look for even ones that may be safe for them to just play with on their own, what a couple, maybe 2, 3, 4, and what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I specialize in herbs that are safe for breastfeeding. Please know that not all herbs are safe for breastfeeding. And also, if you have any heart conditions, you really need to work with a practitioner that is like up on those things. You also need to work with a practitioner if you take any medications, and you also need to work with a practitioner. I always put these caveats in. I just think they're
important. Yeah, yeah.
If you have an autoimmune disease, some herbs can trigger your immune system. So with the caveat in place, red raspberry leaf is totally friendly and easy. And after you have a baby, it helps tonify the womb, which means that think of it like doing bicep curls. It's just strengthening that womb. So it helps it get back into its normal place. It helps the uterus return to its normal size, which takes some work after you've had a baby because it's been stretched for so long. And with subsequent births, it takes a lot more work each time. So red raspberry leaf is great. You can make it as just a tea if you want. It tastes kind of like black tea. The longer you steep it, the more kind of astringent it gets in your mouth. So if you think about steeping black tea for a long time, that's kind of the taste. But I find it relatively pleasant, so long as you're not expecting it to taste like raspberries.
That's helpful. Yeah.
You can make it as just a tea, or you can make it as a nourishing infusion, which is more plant matter and steeping it for a longer period of time. So that's 2 to 8 hours. Then my second favorite herb is for that time period, that's like safe for everybody, is nettles. Nettles will so help replenish those mineral stores. It's also going to help with any like energy loss. It kind of like gives you that like people even call it, like, ancient people say, like, food for thyroid, food for adrenals. It's got those good minerals in it. And so it's really great for postpartum. I like to make that strictly as a nourishing infusion. So that's, again, the more plant matter and longer steep time. That tastes like a plant, okay? It does not, there's not any way to change that. It has a savory taste to it. So the salty, savory, you may even wind up treating it more like a broth than like a tea. And that's up to you. So some people don't add honey to it. They'll add salt instead. That's fine.
Interesting.
You wind up loving it and like craving the taste. I promise. It might take like three times, but then you're going to love it.
Yeah. So would you do like, cause you mentioned like a broth. So would you like cook your veggies in that or cook like grains in it or what would just,
I wouldn't, you make, could like, add
soup or something?
Cooked stuff to it. Mm-hmm. And see, but it's still going to taste very green. So it's not going to taste like your typical broth. It's going to taste green. I think more mention that to kind of just let people know
the taste
is not floral and it's not like an herbal tea. I mean, it is, but it tastes more like grass. Like savory. No.
I think grass. Yeah, it tastes green. That is a really good way of saying it. That's how I feel it tastes. Yeah, green.
Absolutely. And if you don't have access to the loose herbs, you can always take three or four of the traditional medicinal tea bags and put them in a mason jar filled with nearly boiling water and let it steep for 2 to 8 hours. That's a great way to do it. I like to make, herbalism should be accessible to everyone, and so I like to make it accessible for everyone. Another herb that's great that you can add to those, I don't generally like the taste of it on its own, is milky oat tops. So it is the same plant that oatmeal comes from, but it's before it turns into the oatmeal. And the milky oat tops, not the oat straw, which is another herb that's sold. It's all the same plant, but it does something different. The milky oat tops is really great for your nervous system. It actually helps rebuild your myelin sheath. And it's really great for those belly birth moms who had to take opioids to help reduce the opioids and to help clear the system of it. So I really like that for, especially for like frazzled mamas that tend to like have trouble sleeping. And I'm going to refer to all of this as mamas, but please know these herbs are great for everybody. So like, seriously, if you're not a mama and you're listening to this, like go try them out. They're awesome. Yeah. So oat tops, or milky oat tops is what they're referred to as, because when you squeeze them, the sap looks like milk. So that's why they're referred to as that. Yeah. I also really love fennel. So the reason I love fennel for this time is because it's a secret gentle nervine. So nervine means that it acts on the nervous system. The reason I say secret is because it's usually used as like a digestive. So it helps move, like, it's a carminative, helps move gas through your GI system, but it's also a galactagogue. So it increases breast milk and a little bit comes through your breast milk. So it helps soothe baby's tummy. So I love to make a big water bottle full of like warm fennel tea and I'll just drink it all day. Fennel does have the taste of black licorice. So if you're not a fan, you will not like it. I won't lie to you, but I love it. So that's probably like my number one that I like bring to, if I'm like, you need to bring it. They're like, what tea can I bring to the hospital? I'm like, oh, fennel. Yeah.
That's my one.
And then the last one has a lot more caveats than the other one, but I think that it's worth mentioning. And I love adaptogens. I actually made an entire course on them. I find adaptogens very fascinating. I find that it is one of the most bastardized herbs class in the world because people call everything an adaptogen and there's actually only nine. But it's reishi mushroom. So reishi mushroom helps so much balance. It balances blood sugar. And so by balance, I mean balance. So that's what adaptogens do. They don't have these strict actions. They balance. So I like to do that for balancing blood sugar because breastfeeding actually lowers your blood sugar. So that helps balance it. It helps balance your nervous system. It helps balance your immune system because sometimes postpartum, your body can freak out and have like hives or not react and not like not do the things it's supposed to do to prevent illness. So because it's working so hard to heal the tissues and things like that, that's why. So reishi is really great for that. But the reason I love it for mamas is it helps with auditory overwhelm, which is like when the TV's on, there's a podcast going, you're trying to make dinner, the baby's screaming, your seven-year-old's talking about Minecraft in your ear, and you're like, I'm gonna freaking lose it. That's when reishi comes in. But the thing about adaptogens is you have to take them every day for them to have benefit. They don't have a half-life, and you need to take them consistently. And it takes at least 3 weeks to feel the full benefits. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't go try a reishi extract tonight, you won't feel a little bit more chill. You might, but it takes some time. Now, with reishi, there's a lot of concerns around like heart conditions and things like that. So please be very careful if you take that along with any medications. And I will also say that it like has issues with bleeding. There's things like that that you kind of want to pay attention to if you're someone who has, you know, health issues already.
Yeah.
But it's so, so helpful. You also don't want to take it too close to bed because you will have some like acid trip dreams. So take it.
Or take it before bed, I guess. I mean, if that's
sleep very well. Like if you want to have like if you're really working through something and you want to have like some trippy dreams to like really power through this, go ahead and take some kava, some reishi, and some blue vervain and just let what happened happen.
Kyla, my evening plans keep this evening.
You'll wake up the next morning and be like, I might have been ayahuasca. I'm not sure.
Our plans just got much better.
But herbs for moms is really like, that's what I focus on. That's where my passion is. I found a huge hole in the herbalism world there, especially around breastfeeding. So that is, you know, if you come and find me and follow along, that is what I focus on. And I teach monthly classes literally just about herbs. Like that
yeah.
is...
Tell us about your classes. Tell us about your podcast. Tell us where people can find you. Tell us all those things.
All the things. I have a lot going on. So the best place to find me is either on Instagram. I'm at TreeMamaHerbals. Or if you find me on my website, it's www.treemamaherbals.com. Mama is spelled M-A-M-A. And then I teach monthly classes that are really research-based. Like I spend hours on PubMed, like really research-based, not like, you know, Google research-based, like I got the books. Okay. And they're not just for moms. They're for everybody. They are like, I taught one in December that was really deep into your immune system. So I taught you how your immune system works first and then taught you the herbs to use and how to use them and recipes for it. The last one I did was herbs for mood support. So that one was really popular too. This month is herbal aphrodisiacs. Get down with herbal aphrodisiacs.
Ooh, that how appropriate fun. For February. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Right?
Yes. So we're recording in February. This episode will launch in February or air in February, but I think it might be the end of February.
That's okay. March is going to be, I think, sleep herbs. So we've got some good stuff coming, but, I also have a podcast, Holistic Life for Moms. This season is all about matrescence. So if you're like, I need more, go. Every single episode is going to hit on matrescence. It's all good stuff. Awesome. If I can say so myself. I just launched a postpartum community for moms. It's group coaching and it's just working through and being in community with other moms, because that's the root cause of all of our issues being a mama is we don't have community. So that is my online solution for that. And then I also work one-on-one with moms and I use herbs and just honestly like safe place listening. And, just, it's transformational and, I love it. So I love my work, all the weird pieces of it that I have.
That's awesome. So we'll have your Instagram handles and your handle and your website in the show notes. And I'm just, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for
this was great, ladies. Thank you for giving me a place to be able to talk a little bit more about matrescence. And I love the fact that, you know, neither of you have children yet or are choosing not to, but you're still open for this conversation. And I think that's where we're making the major headway, the major change.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. I think that that's part of what, you know, when we're thinking about the different things that we want to share with people, you know, sometimes it's our interests, right? But a lot of times it has to be what is important overall and what is maybe not being talked about, right? You know, our little tagline is things you didn't know you didn't know. And this fits under that category perfectly. So Amanda, thank you. Thank you so much. You guys check out her podcast and see what, you know, where can you maybe find your community in this phase of your life if you're looking for that. And we're so grateful to have you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Curious Women. If you love our show, you can support us by leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And if you know someone else who would really love our show, please share it with them too.